The discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls has been described as the single most important archaeological find of the 20th century. And for most of my adult life, I have, in one way or another, studied these scrolls, what they mean to us in our lives today, what they meant during the time of their creation, where the information has come from, and how the people 2,000, 2,200, 2,500 years ago, how they knew the information that they recorded in these scrolls. Where did they get their information from? Was it part of an older lineage of wisdom that had been passed down from generation to generation to generation? And if so, where did it come from to begin with? Well, one of the fascinating items of interest to me regarding the scrolls, one of the questions I had was, why has it taken so long for this information to be disseminated among the general public? The first scrolls were found in 1946. They were reported to the public in 1947. As we mentioned earlier, between 1947 and 1959, in 11 caves, over 22,000 fragments, papyrus, animal hide, and copper, were found and eventually pieced together into what became 900 or so scrolls. And in those 900 or so scrolls, every letter had to be translated and all the translations had to be compiled and then released as publications. I find it so fascinating that the entire task, this monumental task that spanned decades, was left to a team of only 7 male scholars. And up until 1991, those 7 scholars were primarily the only people that had firsthand access to the original information in these scrolls. Well, of all of the scrolls that were found, over those 22,000 plus fragments that eventually became those 900 scrolls, and all of the controversy that surrounded all of this information, ironically, it was in the first cave where the first 7 scrolls were found that those first 7 scrolls also were the most complete documents of the entire find of all the Dead Sea Scrolls. I think it's perhaps no accident that those scrolls were together and that they were found so early on. Today, just outside of Jerusalem, they are housed in a structure, a beautiful structure that has won a tremendous number of architectural awards. And when we look at the exterior of the structure, we're immediately taken by the shape of one portion of the roof. It appears as a saucer shape that is actually fabricated to look like the lid of one of the clay vases on a very large scale where the scrolls were found in the caves originally. It is a large white dome that covers a chamber inside of the Shrine of the Book Museum. And when we go inside of that chamber, what we find are housed the first 7, those first 7 scrolls that have always been considered as a unit unto themselves. They've always been displayed together. And along the periphery of the circular chamber, 6 of the scrolls are available for display in cases. They are unrolled and we can file by and read letter by letter the flecks of ink on the ancient parchment precisely the way the hands of the scribes placed them there over 2,000 years ago. Well, it's in the center of this chamber that, for me, is perhaps one of the most fascinating enigmas of the entire Dead Sea Scrolls saga. In the center of this chamber is a vertical steel cylinder, and on this cylinder is unrolled the single scroll, the only one of all the 22,500 fragments, all the 900 scrolls that eventually pieced together, only one was found completely intact. And that one scroll is unrolled on this vertical steel cylinder and is believed by scholars to be so precious, they will not even use the word valuable. This scroll cannot be viewed in terms of dollars and cents. The information is so precious that enormous measures, extraordinary measures, have been taken to preserve this scroll for future generations. The entire display in the center of the chamber, the entire scroll wrapped around this vertical cylinder, is designed to retract into the floor of the museum itself, underneath the floor, into a steel and concrete reinforced vault. And over this vault, steel doors are designed to close, to protect and preserve this single document above all other documents in the event even of a natural disaster or a nuclear attack in the city of Jerusalem. Because the scholars say that this one scroll above all other scrolls must be preserved for future generations. This is the great Isaiah scroll. And we have to ask ourselves, what could possibly be on this scroll that warrants such extraordinary degrees of protection? What does this scroll say to us? Well, of the many, many concepts that Isaiah, the great prophet Isaiah, developed in the 66 books of his scroll, for me, I believe the key concept is precisely the concept of his understanding of space, of time, of the relationship between space and time and human events, both of his time and of his future.